first reading today continues the story from Samuel that we've been reading. And it's interesting, today we come to the end of the time of Samuel, when it says all the elders of Israel come to Samuel and they say, look, you're old, you're done. We know you're not going to be here much longer. It's time to figure out what's going to happen after you're gone. Isn't that a great way to come to someone? Imagine, it's kind of like those stories in the Bible where the son comes to the father and says, give me my share of the inheritance. I'm out of here. If your kids were to say to you, Mom, Dad, you're getting old. It's time to figure out what's coming to me when you're gone. What are we going to do? That's kind of what happens today in our readings. The elders are coming to Samuel and saying, you're through. Now what? Your sons, they don't follow your example. And it's interesting because their request then is that God would give them a king. They want Samuel to appoint a king over them. Samuel was not the king. Samuel was not the king of Israel, as we see. Samuel, what kind of leader was he? Well, he was the spiritual leader of Israel. He was a prophet appointed by God. Samuel led the people in holiness, in how to know and hear and follow the voice of God. That's how Samuel stood at the head and leadership of God's people Israel, teaching them to know and love God, follow his ways. So it would make sense that at the end of Samuel's life, people would come to Samuel and say, okay, your sons aren't so holy. They're not following your way. Where will we find another holy prophet to lead us to know and love God? That would be a legitimate request, but that's not what they do. They come today and say, basically, we're tired of having a spiritual leader. We don't want to be known for our holiness or our election by God anymore. Rather, they say, we want a king. We too must be like other nations. We want a king to rule us and lead us in warfare. Not lead us in prayer, lead us in worship of God, lead us in holiness. No, we want a king to lead us in warfare and fight our battles. What a difference. So Samuel goes to God and presents the petition. This is what the prophet does. He intercedes on behalf of the people. We can imagine with what a sad heart Samuel would have had to go to God with this request. Already he's probably sad for his sons that don't practice the faith very well. Now he's got to go and say, not only his sons, but now all the elders of the people, they don't want to follow God anymore. They want, rather, a king. And we have one of the saddest moments in Scripture there. We see, not often, a little bit of the personification of how God might feel. But here, God says to Samuel, grant the people's every request. It is not you they reject, they are rejecting me as their king. How tragic, how sad. The truth is, God had set Israel apart not to be like every other nation. They were to be his special people. God was their king and leader. And now they come and say, we don't want you to be our king anymore. We want an earthly king. And of course we have Samuel then has to tell them in detail, here's what's going to happen if you have an earthly king. He's going to take your sons, put them over its chariots and horses. He's going to take your daughters. They're going to be ointment makers and cooks and bakers. Rather than serving God in freedom, as you were meant to do, you will now instead be taken to serve the government, to serve the king. How tragically sad again. Everything twisted, turned on its head. Rather than worshiping God, the true king, in freedom, they exchanged that for something much, much less. An earthly king who will make them ultimately not free, but slaves. This is ultimately the story of all of our spiritual journey. This is what sin does. We say to God, I don't want your rules. I don't trust that your plan, God, will really make me happy. I think all of your instructions, God, are just about keeping me down. I don't want that. I want to be like everybody else. I'm going to follow the rules of society. I want an earthly power to reign over me because I don't trust in God. And what do we get? We continue to get slavery, not freedom to worship God, but we become enslaved by society, trapped in, as we see today, the ever-growing spiral of dependence upon government. We want the government to do everything for us, and we pretend like if the government gives it to us, somehow it's free. Well, no, that's our money that goes to pay for that. We become increasingly not free, but enslaved. That's what's represented in our gospel today by the paralytic. He can't move. He's stuck. Jesus comes, the true King of Kings. God comes to once again be king, and he shows that he's got power to free us from this paralyzing entrapment to trying to be like everybody else and being enslaved to this world. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." That's what really paralyzes the man in the gospel. That's what paralyzes us. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And the result is that we are once again restored to freedom. Not freedom to continue following what society wants us to do, what got us into trouble in the first place, but freedom to go worship and follow God. Pick up your mat and walk. That's what Jesus offers to us today. He gives us the chance to be under his authority, his kingship once again, that we might rise from our sins, from our paralysis, to have Jesus as our King, and to be truly free.